views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Now, Ask Dr. Love with psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert, Dr. Jamie Turndorf. For expert advice on love and relationships, you can submit your questions online at AskDrLove.com or call 1-800-930-2819 during the live broadcast. You can also listen live and download the free show app at TransformationTalkRadio.com. Now here's Dr. Love.
Welcome to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I am so happy to be with you today, and I'm especially excited about my wonderful guest, Danyon Brinkley. He's the New York Times bestselling author of so many books, Saved by the Light, At Peace in the Light, The Secrets of the Light, Lessons from Heaven, so many more. You know Danyon as the survivor of three near-death experiences, and of course, as a New York Times bestselling author, world-renowned psychic, and he's really a true American hero. And his latest literary classic, co-authored with his wife, Catherine Brinkley, is called The Secrets of the Light, Lessons from Heaven. His first bestseller, Saved by the Light, spent 26 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, and in 1995 it was made into a television motion picture by Fox Network. And it's been seen by 30 million people worldwide. And to this day, it remains the second highest rated movie made for television in Fox's history, making Danyon a very popular radio and television guest. He's been on Oprah, Discovery, Investigation Discovery, Larry King Live, The Insider, Unsolved Mysteries, PAX TV, Dateline, Coast to Coast with George Norrie, TLC, Lifetime, just to name a few. So let's just, without further ado, say hi to Danyon. Hi, are you with me?
I am here, Jamie, and thank you.
Hey, I'm so happy to be with you. You wrote me such a sweet email. It was very loving, and I remember you said something like, feels like we're going to be friends for a really long time. It was very sweet.
Dr. Love.
Yeah, I could just feel your heart coming through your email. And very special.
Well, what happens is, for most people, I always say, Danyon, you've been dead three times. And I laughed and I said, but that's not as miraculous as the fact that I've been alive four.
That is very true.
But the point of it is how many times would they have to kill you before you got it?
And I love that. That's a really great way of saying it. Yeah, died three, but four lifetimes, you know. Tell everybody who hasn't heard your story. You've had three near-death experiences. You were struck by lightning twice. By the way, Danyon, you and I have this lightning connection because
yeah,
you remember my
right.
life began with the lightning strike. And then right before my husband and I left for our final trip to Italy, lightning struck our rose arbor and destroyed it. And the summer before we went to the same place in Italy, and we were both nearly struck by lightning. So when he was stung mortally by the bee, my mind said, oh, he's been struck by lightning, he's dead. So it's interesting, we have this lightning connection.
Well, good. That serves both of you right.
Yeah, and I meant you and I have the lightning
connection.
Yeah,
but in the course of where lightning, if you look at lightning shamanism, you have to remember, Jamie, I never believed any of this stuff. I thought it was all nonsense. I was like hardcore Marine tough guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I dealt with life from a very redneck asshole point of view. And then I discovered that we're great, powerful, and mighty spiritual beings with dignity, direction, and purpose. And there was no way that I could argue with it. And when I would move off of frequency of mostly in the nature of forgiving because of so much hypocrisy that goes on in governments, religions, and institutions, I would anger, and that would trigger the next experience. You know, the next lightning strike, okay, we won't kill you, we'll just knock you out and put you in the bed for like 3 weeks.
Are you saying that the lightning strike was, if you want, spirit's way of knocking you upside the head and getting you to wake up and see the truth?
took them 2 times in 3 years, too.
Yeah, so it is a major. It's like, you know, the, whoa, I could have had a V8 on steroids.
Yeah, and mine is, damn, why didn't you get it the first time, and why was it necessary? You know, when people have these kind of experiences, the depth of those experiences are so transformative. And you can listen to people, Jamie, who talk about having their near-death experience. But for me, studying it for 40 years and being there in the beginning, I was there with Raymond. The hospital they brought me to, Raymond Moody was a medical student.
Oh,
and
And
I had this experience before Life After Life came out. And when it came out, he happened to live 13 miles from me. And so as Raymond began to launch into Raymond, and I was watching the nature of what was going on in this experience, and because I had had this experience, I can tell the difference between the reality of what somebody's saying and what they turned it into based on either an out-of-body experience or close enough that something scared the life out of them. But it's different from a near-death experience. So when I look at mine from a very ethereal point of view, which is the basic choice that I have, I can see the mechanisms that triggered the next level, so from open heart surgery, then brain surgery, then a massive heart attack, surgery.
You see it as, in each way, spirit was literally reworking your circuitry, just opening you more and more, opening your heart, literally.
Yeah.
No matter
how big a jerk I constantly tried to remain because of hypocrisy, seeing such, I mean, we spend $2 trillion fighting a war, killing people, killing a million people, and with $2 trillion we could have fed everybody in the whole world.
Mm.
Well, then explain to me where we are, that there are people who are stopping. We're not shipping food to the Sudan because the warlords take it and confiscate it. And we can't get the food to the people who are trapped between these wars that are going on in the Sudan and Darfur. What the heck is wrong with people? And I resent that kind of stuff, Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
I resent it because we all know better.
So
we
tell everybody, everybody who's listening, you're struck by lightning twice. You had brain surgery. You had
open heart surgery. Brain
so
surgery.
What did each experience teach you about life and about life after death?
Well, that there is a life after death.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and nobody goes to hell. That's the biggest bunch of nonsense.
Isn't it the truth?
I ever heard in my life. It's nonsense. It's not even not the truth. It's nonsense.
Yeah, I know. And it's so funny because people would always talk to, you know, about the devil and the evil one and this
please.
And that. My husband, he never, you know, here he is, this, you know, one of the most famous Jesuit priests. He never talked about the devil or any of this. It's like it didn't even exist. So I would, after he left his body, you know, I asked priests, you know, why is that? It's because it doesn't exist. That's why.
Yeah, there's no, if you look at this, when you go through the experience, and I keep harping back on the depth of what happened to me, because the first thing that I always think about is if I was talking on the telephone in 1975, and lightning came down the phone line, and it went through the side of my head and down my spine and out the bottom of my feet, and it welded the nails in the heels of my shoes to the nails that were in the flooring holding down the wooden floor.
Man.
Or I would have blown up. That's what grounded me.
It grounded you, literally.
But literally to have that kind of electricity passing through my body is the first thing that you have to think about, to weld steel to steel.
Mm-hmm.
That's an enormous amount, and how long and what the amperage is and the voltage is. And
it's like it gave you a jump start on like a rebirth, really. It
I mean, I lifted out of my body. I lifted out of my body. I'm burning. I'm on fire. I'm in more pain than you could humanly burn. It's like drinking battery acid and burning from the inside out. I'm blinded. I can't see because a ball of fire or some flash had burnt my eyes so bad. I wore welder's glasses for 2 years.
Oh, man.
But I lifted out of my body. I was in no pain whatsoever. I could see everything that was going on. I could see that the plants had energy around them. I could see that Sandy had energy around her. When Tommy got there, when the paramedics got there, they were frequency. They had auric fields of energy.
You saw it, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at this, and when I came back in my body, I couldn't see. I was in pain. And in that journey, what it taught me about was that there's a life after this one. Mm-hmm. And the value of this one, the one we're living, is just as equal to the value of the next one. You reward yourself by living a certain specific way and by holding true to traditions that spiritually keep you open and spiritually keeps your power of love, both giving and receiving, which structures forgiveness as a protocol. Mm. And then you live in that life based on what most people really do anyway, Jamie. Well, people do things for two reasons, gratification and preservation.
That's it. Seek pleasure, avoid pain. The two
I mean, it's going to be one of those as a human being.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then as a spiritual being, which negates the human side, it's about what do you appreciate, what do you admire, and based on that admiration from constructive appreciation, what do you aspire to do? And, you know, that's the whole thing. And in this new book that we're writing, 10 Things to Know Before We Go, the last page says, aspire to inspire before you expire.
That's excellent, because that's really all. Well, I always say to people, we are here for one purpose only, and that is Earth is our training ground to perfect our ability to love ourselves and others fully. That's all we're here for. So,
yeah,
and our
you get a chance to think that you're separate from everything.
No.
Over there, you're not separate from anything, and it's a common knowledge that you are still you, but you're a part of something.
It's all a unity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're a part of something. But over here, you get to think that I'm separate from the door in front of me or from you.
Right.
This is a telephone. I can hang it up, and I have a body, you know, so I'm separate.
There's no separation, and it's all like we're all vibrating, you know, energy sources. You know, and it's so funny. Earlier this week, I energetically attuned to somebody who must have written to me 25 years ago when I first began Ask Dr. Love, and I energetically got a vibe from this person, and I got the message, oh, I'm going to be hearing from somebody who wrote to me when he was just a teenager, and then the letter comes. So doesn't that just remind us how we are all so connected?
No, but that's attunement.
Yeah.
Because people don't realize we live, all this is science. See what's so funny to me, Jamie? This is not some guru on the mountain in the Himalayas.
No.
This is down in CERN in Switzerland, and this is replicated. This is science. We moved from physics to quantum physics.
Mm.
Quantum physics has proved so much nature of spirituality, replicated based under the guise of quantum physics, which is really the law of nature and the nature of the law, and how it operates in the electronic spectrum. When people think they're not a spiritual being, science has proven that you are. That you function in an energetic level of consciousness. This is what you are. What we do is we think about pharmacology, the pills necessary to allow us to keep doing the same crap we've been doing, as opposed to rectifying and changing. What they do is they kill me. I said, okay, Daniel, we'll fix you. You know, we'll just kill you. Okay, because I know you don't die. I know it's not going to happen. I know more than likely I'm going to come back. It's just how much pain I'm going to have to go through based on the fact I'm still mad.
You're right.
What? But it's the truth, sir. You know,
so amazing is I've talked to all the psychic mediums and everybody, but you are so unusual in your style, you know, because you still have the good old boy, the Southern, you know, delivery, you know, but yet you're this amazing, ethereal, spiritual body. You're just, the contrast is wonderful.
It's called obsessive compulsive.
No.
I mean, I'm obsessive compulsive both here and in the hereafter.
Yeah.
And don't kill me and think I don't get interested in the subject matter.
All right, so listen, I'm not going to kill you long. I just have to take a brief break, okay?
I'm
going to bring you back to life in a couple seconds, all right?
Thank you.
Tune in to the hit show Marketing Masters with Connie Fife, Mondays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Each week, Connie will bring you the best of the best thought leaders from around the world to share marketing strategies and best practices. Get fired up to grow your business with the Queen of Marketing. To contact Connie, visit ConnieFifeSpeaks.com.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. AskDrLove.com is the web's premier relationship advice site since 1995. Visit AskDrLove.com to search thousands of Dr. Love's relationship advice columns or submit a question to her free advice column. Don't be shy. Dr. Turndorf wants to help you, so take advantage of this unique opportunity to get a personal answer from one of today's most respected experts. This show is for you, the listener, so if you have a question for her, call in during the live show broadcast or catch the archive show on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Now, back to Dr. Love.
Listening to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm talking with the amazing New York Times bestselling author, Danyon Brinkley. Danyon, this is the time in the show I call Dr. Love's quickie segment, because it's a short segment, just 6 minutes, so we got to get in and out really fast. And I always do a few little tweets to just drive home the point of our show. So would you, since this is a short segment, just off the cuff, would you have something short and sweet to tell everybody listening about what is one thing that we need to know about the life after life and one important lesson that you learned when you were in the afterlife?
Okay, I can do that quick. Enjoy the lustful side, everybody, because true love will find itself. When you look at that, when you look at whatever is going on that's creating the chemistry between you and anyone else, that chemistry was basically designed to occur. That event was designed to occur to either teach something or learn something. And when you frame it that way, then you see what it's all about. And it's not like you don't take your emotion out, but you have to look at it from your highest spiritual conscious point of view. And in that, you design this somewhere along the line to interact with this person in a certain way so that you either teach something or you learn something, and that's the first order of its existence. So being a little lustful is okay.
The lust is drawing you to this person where you're going to learn lessons.
We're either learning or teaching. And most people have been so beaten down, Jamie, by being poor, pitiful, stupid sinners going to heaven or hell based on some system of didn't love thy neighbor as thyself. I think you have to pay a certain price for not doing that, because loving your neighbor as yourself helps you get closer to this concept of unity. Okay, so that you really understand we're all really interconnected, interacting, creating something that is an overall unfolding plan that a divine intelligence that some call God, but the divine intelligence believes it to be. And if you want something in your life, what you do is you have to write down what you want, but then on another side of that same piece of paper, you have to write down why you want it. Because the universe does not care what you want. It cares why you want it. And it's a matter of not what you do, but why you do it that becomes important when you're making decisions in your life. But none of that is more important as it is equal to have enjoyed yourself, to look at the food that you eat and to understand the breath that you breathe and the interaction between you and humans and the other people, knowing that they are sincerely trying to grow to reach the highest goal that they possibly can. That's the most important.
So we're helping each other. We're teachers and we're learning, and you're supposed to enjoy your ride. I wrote a poem right after Jean left his body. It's like a haiku. Live your life now and enjoy your journey. do this before your final ride on a gurney.
Yeah, so a little lust never hurt anything.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess when you're lying on the gurney, you know, we're getting laid, you know. But you want to do this before.
Oh, that was fun. That was funny, Jamie. No, come on. Come on. That's quick and smart. Come on. That's great.
All right. So, but I love what you're saying about enjoying your ride because it's such a short ride in a body.
No, it's
better nothing. Enjoy it.
I mean, the key point is the panoramic life review. The greatest teacher that anyone and people skip over it. It's so amazing to me, Jamie.
You mean when you leave your body and you have that panoramic life overview?
You see your life pass before you. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you understand, I'm obsessive compulsive, so even if you're killing me, I'm paying attention to how it works. Because I never believed any of this stuff. It was always bull to me.
I don't call that obsessive compulsive. I call that observant.
Well, Catherine calls it obsessive compulsive, but it's not a disorder.
Well, tell her Dr. Love says it's observant.
Yeah, because to some people it's a disorder, but I've had it all my life, and it has served me well because I will go and look it up. I will go and study it because I have to understand it. But people look over that instead of paying attention to the life review. And I hear people talk about it who sincerely had a near-death experience because we're down to probably 60% of every time you hear that story, it has validity. And then another 40%, somebody just made that up because an accepted term to be identified spiritually is the near-death experience. It is the most accepted term in modern-day bridging reality. I mean, in this part of the New Age paradigm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if people pay attention to the panoramic life review, they get it.
Now listen, what's happening in this Dr. Love quickie segment is a metaphor for life. It's quick. It's short. It's sweet. So we're coming to the end. I'm just going to give you two short tweets on this topic. First, when a loved one enters the sweet by and by, know that you aren't meant to say goodbye. And the second one is, a loved one's bodily depart doesn't mean you're supposed to stay apart. All right, I'm going to take a brief break, and I'll be back with you in a moment on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you've yearned to get along better with your life partner or spouse, friends, family members, and even coworkers, Dr. Turndorf's Hay House book, Kiss Your Fights Goodbye, Dr. Love's 10 Simple Steps to Cooling Conflict and Rekindling Your Relationship, shows you how to turn conflict into connection for a lifetime of lasting love. Find out more about this book at AskDrLove.com. This is Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. You can submit your questions at AskDrLove.com, or if you're listening in real time, you can speak to Dr. Turndorf live by calling 800-930-2819. To listen live and download the free show app, go to TransformationTalkRadio.com. All shows are archived at TransformationTalkRadio.com. You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Once again, here's Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm talking with Danyon Brinkley, New York Times bestselling author. We're talking about what nearly dying teaches us about living. So where do you want to go from here, since we're still live and we're not dead?
Well, let's go back to the panoramic life review.
Exactly. Let's go.
Yeah, because what happens, and this is everybody. You know, what's fun to me, Jamie, is that we have basic core natures as spiritual beings. They exist. I always say great, powerful, and mighty spiritual being with dignity, direction, and purpose. And then when you say that, people say, well, then how in the world did my life get so screwed up and my relationships get so astrew and he got so crazy or she's crazy or, you know, great God, why did I put myself into this? Okay, but this is what people do. But you have to step back from it and look at it from the spiritual point of view. What am I learning here? What is this teaching me? And you don't get all emotionally involved in it. You just look at it. Because here's what happens when you leave this world and you meet the being of light and all the stuff that people talk about. You have a panoramic life view. You will see your whole life pass before you in a 360 holographic panoramic life view. It's incredible. You know everything. You haven't missed it. You know how many hairs is in the nose of the doctor who pulled you from your mother. You're aware of every single moment, thought. Then you watch this same experience from a second person point of view, as if you were your own best friend. Whoa, that was pretty smart, Jamie. Great God, what were you
like thinking? That you better remember that.
Yeah, but here's what, then you literally become every person that you've ever encountered, and you feel the direct results of your interaction between you and that person. Not what you rationalized or what you meant to do, or you didn't mean to hurt the feelings, or you wanted to make them feel good, but you become them. And I realized that I had to get tired of hitting my own self in the face and tormenting and torturing in verbal abuse the whole world and the universe that I lived in and didn't realize until I became every person. And so at that point, this is what changed my life. All this other stuff in about the near-death experience and having a ton of them and spending 40 years studying them. I've been a hospice volunteer for 37 years and 28 years in the VA, working with veterans for 31 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this point of the panoramic life view, after you become every person that you ever encounter, here's how you will judge yourself. If God couldn't come today and God sent you, or if divinity couldn't come as you would define it, could not come today, but it sent you. In the life you just reviewed, what difference did you and God make? Now, that's the panoramic life view. The single most important point of anybody having a near-death experience is what did they experience in the life review? Some of them are different. Mine are obsessive-compulsive panoramic life reviews. You know, I detail them because I feel and watch it from those kind of psychological points of view because you stay you.
That's right. You don't lose you.
But the personality that you think you had, like me being Daniel, that's gone. When I left the panoramic life view and moved to what was called, I call the Crystal Cities, that personality was gone. It didn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. I never even thought myself as Daniel again, never, until mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out how to get back into my body. Who you think you are is not who you are. Okay, you're not. You have constructed this personality based on what you think other people like or dislike about you. And you've created this personality to function, to teach and learn. Most people never realize who they are because right. They're a collective psychology of everybody's opinion of them and how you react to that. Got to make mama happy.
But check this out. If you think about, we're here to make a difference, to make the world a better place. If you're working from that spiritually evolved position, then who you are becomes more, if you want, a servant of God or spirit. That's who you really are. You're working from your heart and from love.
A manifester.
Yes,
you
and
go
that,
even, you move to a greater level of conscious than that. You become a manifester.
Mm-hmm. You know, and that is God in act.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's the whole nature. So why mm-hmm. I devised the term with dignity, direction, and purpose? Because I had to take feelings and bring them into language, look it up
yeah.
and find words. I spent 18 years looking at verbiage before I decided I would write a book or do anything or become public as Daniel. I studied the thesauruses and dictionaries to find words that would language that people would understand, like you're doing,
mm-hmm.
that would language who you really are.
Mm-hmm. And experience. You know, it's hard to describe a nonverbal experience in words.
Right. 18 years.
And you're doing it. You know, you're doing a very great job of
yeah.
making it clear. And, you know, the other thing you said a second ago about having the life, the panoramic life view, and the second shot at looking at yourself through other people's eyes, feeling through other people's sensibilities, how you made them
feel. Becoming them.
You become them. So the
yeah.
thing is, One of the things I always invite people to do is to develop, now here's the word, partial identification, where you don't have to wait until you die to develop that sensitivity of living in other people's skins and knowing how we make them feel, that you can develop this while you're still in a body and live in a more considerate and loving way.
It's the only smart thing to do.
Yes.
If you're going to have a panoramic, when you die, quote unquote, and you're going to have a panoramic life review, and you just start today, everyone who's listening, and look at people's panoramic life reviews, what they write about, Slave by the Light, Secrets at Peace, but I go in depth. Each of these books were the Light Trilogy. I had to sit down and I had to go what saved me from myself, at peace, which was my battle plan. This is what I would set out to achieve based on what I said they sent me back for and saved. What's fun about me, Jamie, is 20 years ago I wrote a book that sold millions and millions and millions of copies, but it was based on something that happened in 1975, and I said I was sent back to achieve certain goals, which is in Chapter 5, which has the boxes of knowledge in it. And anyone can read what I wrote 20 years ago about what I said I was supposed to come back and do and look at my life today. They would say I've done a phenomenal job.
You're doing it. Because when you come back after multiple near-death experiences, you have only one purpose and one purpose only. You were put back in your body to do that manifesting.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Absolutely.
There's nothing else. And, of course, to have fun and enjoy your lust. I mean,
I'm going to do that, too, because that whole thing about lust, this is the only point I wanted to bring back about that to everybody who's listening. And listen, everybody. When you're paying attention to, when Jamie and I were talking just a moment ago, that you are a great, powerful, and mighty spiritual being. You've earned that. But you're a spiritual being with dignity, direction, and purpose. That means that the only thing that could ever go wrong is you allow something to affect your dignity, which means it begins to confuse your purpose, and thereby you lose your direction. So in that lustful nature of all of that, and this is a natural phenomenon, it's going to happen, a couple of beers, you never see, you don't know, you're having a lot of fun, okay. But what you got to remember is it affecting your dignity? Is it within the relationship pull and ebb and flow? If it's affecting your dignity, then your direction and purpose is going to be diffused. So if these actions and interactions between you and another person or a group of people is affecting your dignity, then you need to change.
That's exactly right. We're using different words for the same thing, because I always say to my patients and my audience, surround yourself with warm and loving people who treat you with respect, because this is exactly what you're saying. You cannot have your dignity ripped from you, because that's going to take that divine purpose and stomp it down.
And direction, divine purpose and direction. Everybody's going somewhere. And you designed this life when you came here, okay? And you very rarely go off of that path, because these are experiences that you need in order to better understand yourself. That means
and
you
to
can
grow,
be
a higher, right? Yeah, and evolve spiritually. Each of these trials are spiritual lessons. They're putting spiritual muscle on us. We're growing spiritually through all the trials. You agree with that?
100%.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what happens, if you're going to have a panoramic life review, and I've been through three of these turkeys, if you're going to have three of these, or you're going to have one of them, and you hear other people talking about them, that's the most important thing that happens. There, in the world of me, there's a life after death, and the panoramic life review, what happens? The fact that I saw the future, Jamie, and I became perceptive because I can listen to your voice.
Yeah.
I could listen. Everybody has a tonal frequency, and I can tune to that frequency because of the lightning. I can tune to that frequency, and I can hear things in people's voices.
Oh, yeah? What do you hear in mine?
Well, not enough hydration.
God, you're right. I need a glass of water right now.
Yeah, not enough hydration, very good, severe shortage of trace minerals, and a severe shortage of vitamin D, and not enough B12, probably B3 and B6 to cause
so
the vitamin D to absorb.
Medical intuitive stuff too, huh? You get
yeah,
that
you
too?
Hear it. Everybody's voice has a certain, it's a mantra, a tonal frequency. And I can, because of the lightning, I could move into tonal frequencies. I could hear those places, and then I could access some record or some compartmentalized database that I can enter in, like a computer. I can enter in, and then I know so much more about what that sound or tone that I'm hearing is because it's in a file on you.
Are you saying that when you listen, when you tune into the frequency, I mean, here you gave me a download of a nutritional profile, but you don't just tune into that. You tune into everything, right? That you
I listen to the person.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear a thousand other things in the same of that. It was just that you ask me what you feel about you, and the first thing I think about is your health, you know, and it tells me. And the next thing I think about is how can I empower you to better serve whatever your cause is, you know, how can I do that?
And that's so wonderful. You're tuning in. That's what it's about. Yeah.
Well, if everything has to have an intention. I do not try to. I don't try to do anything to people except be of service. I have a very sustained ego. My ego needs no outside stimulation. I'm completely capable of stimulating my own ego.
You're an SDU. You know what an SDU is?
It's some kind of
sexually self-contained unit.
Yeah. Okay. But because Kat, it's like Kat, she laughs at me because when I eat, I'm so focused on it, and I'm studying all the flavors of it and how fast I can chew some of it, how fast I can chew those. And she says I'm like in my own little world, and the girls, which is like five of them, they all go along with her, and the next thing is I'm entertaining them, but not near as much as I am entertaining me.
You're just a regular sideshow right there. With the side dishes, they're watching you as a sideshow.
And just doing what I'm doing to enjoy this life.
Wow.
So what a person has to do is, you have to think from, when we wrote Secrets, Kat said, she sat down, we were talking, and I said, look, can I have to figure out a way to turn how you can look at your life through the panoramic life review based on the future influences, which is I saw the future now that I know that that's what it was, and so much of that stuff has come true. You know,
what was going to happen with the Earth.
Yeah, the probable possibilities of where we would find ourselves. And I'm probably 95 or 96%. A few I missed the dates on of when I thought it would happen. But the rest of it happened. Like I said that they would have to put troops on the border, that people would start coming across based on the collapsing nature of Central America.
But you know what
you're
talking about, Daniel, is the fact that there is no time. The future has already happened. So when we are seeing into the future, it's because we're sort of leaving this moment, coming out of this time, stepping into the future that's already happened, and then coming back into our bodies, you know?
I call that probable possibility. Because when I saw the future, and I mean, when I saw it, I didn't know it was the future. It was 4 years before I even thought about that stuff because I was trying to walk and feed myself. Remember, I was completely paralyzed for 6 days, partially paralyzed for 7 months, and it took me 2 years to learn to walk and feed myself. I didn't just get up the next day. And, you know, I had to live with pain and learning to walk and wet my pants and those kind of issues. So I didn't give a crap about something that was going to be 4 years down the road. It wasn't an active
part.
Really?
You just had to just do your life skills. Let's take a break. I just need to take a break, but hold your thought. We'll come right back in a second, okay?
Are you tired of being bloated and nauseous? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know eating unhealthy foods eventually leads to an unhealthy digestive system? Did you know eating the most healthy, nutritious food doesn't necessarily result in a healthy body? The stomach must be healthy in order to properly digest, metabolize, and utilize even the best of nutrition. Without proper digestion from the stomach through the intestinal tract, the nutritious value is not absorbed, and the improperly digested food can be more toxic to your body than helpful. You can be doing all the right things and getting all the wrong results. In fact, other organs may also be interfering with your stomach's ability to digest. With CRA, we are able to determine the specific cause of the digestive issue and use the proper nutrition to correct the imbalance. Contact us today for your appointment at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. Or visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
You're listening to Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. If you or someone you know has lost a loved one, Dr. Turndorf's best-selling Hay House book, Love Never Dies, How to Reconnect and Make Peace with the Deceased, presents her groundbreaking new transdimensional grief therapy method, which offers the first vehicle in history for reconnecting and making peace with the deceased. Sign up for Dr. Love's free newsletter at AskDrLove.com and receive an exciting gift. A free excerpt of Love Never Dies. Now, back to Dr. Love.
Welcome back to Ask Dr. Love Radio. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf, and I'm talking with best-selling author Danyon Brinkley. So, Danyon, I had to interrupt you. I had to take a break and go.
Yeah, but that was a great point, though, Jamie, about being green and being ecologically conscious. Because a lot of times if I was going to look for a man, let's say if I was looking for a man being myself, okay, then I would hang out in the produce section in grocery stores. And I would look at the shape, size, color, and texture of fruits and vegetables. Red, orange, yellow, blue, green, indigo, and violet. Because somehow, because of processed food and stuff, we misalign our energetic pattern. And by looking at the shape, size, colors, and textures of all these fruits and vegetables, then it harmonizes that inner spiritual self. Then you might eat something. You might eat a salad or eat something green or eat something more organic. But you're also going to be looking at a person that you could probably want to know. If that person is looking at organic, if that person has got the little, not a shopping cart, but a little walk around that little hand cart, that means he's only buying for himself, and he's buying for 2 days, and that's his nature, or he's planning on eating some garbage.
But well, wait a minute. Maybe he's single. Maybe it's the lady's opportunity. He's single. Now you pounce, right?
Well, what you do is you ask questions. How do you fix that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, you want to you explore a person that, you know, it's like you said, you don't want to hurt their feelings. Mm-hmm. Kat and I, when we were looking at, and this is where we broke off, when we were looking at sitting down and giving people ways to frame their issues, you know, and that's why we wrote Secrets of the Light. Now, Harper, who I'm very proud that the people who publish my books also publish the Bible, you know, because I could thump with the best of them.
You're a thumper.
Yeah, well, I grew up in, you know, everybody goes to hell in South Carolina. Where, when you grow up in fundamentalism in the South, you know, everybody goes to hell.
Yeah.
So, I grew up on this, looking at that, and when I didn't go to hell after the first near-death experience, I lived in hell when I got back.
Yeah, hell's only
to learn
here.
To walk over. Yeah, well, you've manifested your own self, but there is a level of consciousness called the blue-gray place, you know, but we can do another show about that. But
all right,
the key lies is here. There is the fourfold path, and that's why I highly recommend Secrets of the Light, because I create a way, Kat and I create a way, how do you frame the crisis? Because I use like number four, I choose to be here at this particular place and time because this is when I can be of the greatest use.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of it all going crazy around me and getting freaked out like everybody does, I'm sitting looking that I'm right here because I'm supposed to be here because this is where I can make a difference. And that's how I look at the crisis, and then I see a way to resolve the issues of what's going on around me as opposed to all that other stuff.
It's interesting because what I always say is whenever the poop hits the fan, right, and you're going through an incredible challenge, you step back and you say, okay, what am I supposed to learn from this? How am I supposed to evolve?
Teach.
What am I being stretched, and how am I supposed to learn and grow? So that when you take that attitude, then you don't get all bitter and pissed off at the fates and God, right? And you use the experience to bring you to the next level, to be in better service and more loving to others. We're
agreed.
Doing the same thing.
But you also must put teach. I mean, you can't just, all of us have gone to, there's a psychological place that we operate from is the victim. And but it's an inbred psychological place based on religions, institutions, and governments.
And also, too, from when you're a young child. You know, when you're little, it happened to you. You feel like you're the only poor, miserable soul, and you're being mistreated, and you do feel like a victim. And then that imprint stays with you so that whenever anything happens to you as an adult that's painful, you go back to that young baby victim state.
No kidding. And that's really true.
Yeah, it is true.
Wow.
It's
see,
so
I never had any of that. I think I grew up as Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn. I had the greatest childhood that I know we're all dysfunctional, but I had the greatest childhood ever.
You're the only person I've ever met who can say that. Everybody else has gotten damaged more or less during their deformative years.
Well, yeah. My heart goes out to them because I never had any of that. I didn't give a crap. I didn't care. It didn't make a difference to me. And I didn't formulate all that those concepts. I lived in my own quiet little world. My dad bought a set of encyclopedias. And I had finished them by the time I was like 13. And when I couldn't read very well, I used to match the words under the pictures because I could get mom or dad to read to me the words under the pictures in the dictionary, and then I could match those words to the words in the column or the explanation. Then I understood what a verb was because that was the action, and I had finished the encyclopedias. And I think maybe I missed all of that dysfunctionality because I was so tied up in that part of growing in me. But I don't have anything from my past, other than I probably drove my mother crazy, from my past that ever affects me. Because to understand that makes this point the most important. In Secrets of the Light, we wrote the fourfold path, north, south, east, and west, earth, wind, water, and fire. If you center things in four folds, then it matches the other frequencies and harmonics of earth, wind, water, and fire, north, south, east, and west, those places of which people identify where reality operates from. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, let's create this. Everything's about love. It's about love. And if you read Secrets, I break love down using Greek, philē, eros, and agape, divine love, eros, you know, thinking which is
better. Love.
Okay,
right.
And then philē, friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so then you identify everything in a relationship based on, is it going to be a friend, is it eros? Or
wait a minute, that's the lust one, yes.
that's the one that you got to pay attention to, but at least you framed it. We live in emotional rages instead of framing it spiritually. Everything's about love, but here's the most important one, Jamie. Everything is about what you believe about your love. Everybody gets into trouble in the choices they make because they set no value of their love before they give it. They hope that someone's going to give it back to them equally as they gave it, which is where the failure comes, which is where your dignity becomes affected, and you lose your direction, and you lose your purpose and your direction.
So check it out. This is everything. You're talking about my first Chaos book, Kiss Your Vice Goodbye, right? Because what determines who we choose, right, comes out of those deformative years. So if we had a parent that degraded us or abandoned us, we're going to actually come and repeat that because we want to try to fix what went wrong in the first relationship with our significant other. So now, instead of healing and getting a better experience where we can give and receive love, we end up continuing the pain from childhood, and our dignity is stripped down even more.
We're going to have to stop that.
Well, that's what Kiss Your Fights Goodbye shows you how to do. I show you how to figure out what the old scar is and how to heal it and how to actually use the relationship so that you are mutual healers and teachers for each other within the relationship so that as you heal the old scars, the love can shine through and then you stop becoming a source of injury to each other.
Or a victim.
And a victim of the other. Yes,
see,
because when you're victimized, you're in childhood. Because everybody felt
it.
As a kid, because my parent abused me, my parent beat me, you know. So the way we get out of the victim place is to heal those old scars, use our relationships for their highest and most divine purpose, which is to help each other heal these old scars. And as we do, we move into the place where we are healers and teachers for each other, and then we're able to love fully. And this is exactly what I'm talking about. We're on the same exact page.
Yeah, finding that place. It's just a whole new world is opening up to me because I've heard this stuff for so long,
yeah.
And I just never, I don't have anything in my past. I mean, I don't have anything that nobody abused me. I mean, everything that ever happened to me, I had it coming. You know,
yeah.
I have never in my entire life seen myself as a victim. Never.
Right. Except when you felt like you were a victim, you're saying, I deserved it. I had it coming.
I
humble, too. You know,
yeah, but what, I had it.
Yeah.
Serves me right. You know, serves me right. I have to spend to think about, because if you set a value of your love before you give it, then you have a measure by which to observe that person's viewpoint of your love instead of making their viewpoint the value.
That's
then
right.
You change your choices. And the
you
want to
know
is,
what's really wild about this conversation you and I are having?
We're getting lustful?
Well, baby, that's just the foreplay. You know.
Okay, just checking.
Lustful is a constant. You know, if you're not like making love every minute on Dr. Love show, something's not right, right?
I agree.
But the thing that's so amazing is, and this is how great our connection is, and that we've had such a lustful time, that the time has flown, the hour has flown so fast that we're coming to the end of the show. We only have a couple of minutes left. Can you believe that?
I can believe anything that you say.
You're cute. I believe anything, Dr. Love. But
honey.
What I feel, which is what I felt when you emailed me initially, when you said we're going to be friends forever, I want you to come back so that we have a chance to talk more about so many things that we didn't have time to talk about, like heavenly being, the stages of heaven, and all the things that you want to share.
But here's what I think, too. I think we should have Catherine and I.
I'd love to.
The nature of where your show is,
I would love to. So
much of what has helped me grow, has helped me grow as a person that's never been a victim of anything.
Yeah.
Except her love and how she views things. Because
you want to know something? Now Dr. Love is fully all out, beyond just lust for you, total love for you. Because
for you to
be so humble to say, I want my wife to come on, because so much of what I've learned is from her and our relationship together. I mean, you are my hero. If every man took this position of saying, my wife is my guide, my emotional teacher, do you know how I'd be out of business? Relationships would be so idyllic. So, I mean, you are my now poster child, perfect man, perfect husband. So I absolutely want you to come back with her. Absolutely.
Any man, Jamie, that doesn't have a muse, that spiritually lighthearted nature.
Absolutely.
Then we are not amused.
If he doesn't have a muse, we are not amused.
Yeah, that's not fair, because the genius that she brings to a simple nature of me, and I can watch it, just like today when you were talking, I've never been the victim of anything, never.
Right.
I've never even put myself as the victim. I just have never done it. But when you were describing it, and I can listen to you and know that that's where people are operating from. And I think back about Catherine and what she went through with her father, who came back from the war in Korea and became a crazy PTSD crazy person.
And what he did to her, I know.
And then marrying me is her trying to correct that. Great God, that was like a monstrous revelation.
You're adorable.
Oh, girl.
Before we end... My friend, just because we have 1 minute left, in the last minute, tell everybody what you want to promote, where they can find you, and a parting thought, because we only have a minute. So go.
Danion, DANNION.com. The last book, Secrets of the Light, that I love my wife immensely. and that every person out there that's looking for the kind of love that helps them grow spiritually, they need to get and listen to this show, and they need to get at least two more friends to tune in, especially when Catherine and I are going to be back.
Oh, yeah.
And don't forget to get Jamie's new book.
Love Never Dies. Yeah, that's the one. Oh, you endorsed it.
You have another one, though. I read it.
It was a beautiful endorsement.
Yeah, I read it. I feel things first, Jamie.
I know you did, and I feel you were right. We're old friends. I'll talk to you for a second after we go off air. I'm going to say goodbye to everybody right now. I'll see you next week. Oh, I won't see you next week. Next week is Thanksgiving. So happy Thanksgiving. Give thanks to all the love in your life and be the gift to everyone.
And we love you, everybody.
Everybody, be the gift and bring your love. So I'll see you next time on Ask Dr. Love Radio.
This has been Ask Dr. Love with Dr. Jamie Turndorf. Visit Dr. Turndorf at AskDrLove.com and follow her on Twitter at AskDrLove and Facebook.com/AskDrLove.